The church is primarily comprised of volunteers and may well be the single largest volunteer army on the planet. Christians are called to serve Christ by being his church, and each one of us has a role to play in the body of Christ. Church staff ministry roles are all about helping each person in the church succeed in serving effectively where God has placed them. And really, in a sense, the word volunteer doesn't do these roles justice. It's true that these folks are serving without pay, but they're doing so much more than donating hours. They are using their gifts and their time to accomplish the Great Commission in this world alongside others in the local church. So church staff leaders, whether you're a paid leader or a volunteer leader serving with a team, don't forget to appreciate the work of those around you. You have an ongoing obligation to encourage and support them. Welcome to episode 119 of the Tim Price Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. We'll get started here in a moment with 15 ideas for appreciating your volunteers.
We're thankful you've connected here with the Tim Price Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. Our hope is to help church ministry leaders and Christians in general stay focused on the things that matter in life. We know there are a lot of podcasts you could be listening to, but you're here and we're grateful. If you have any questions, please reach out through email at timpriceblog.com/podcast. Now on to today's show.
A simple definition of appreciation is to recognize the full worth of something or someone. How can you appreciate your volunteers? I want to share 15 ideas today. And one of the things about this that kind of arouses kind of a passion in me is that without the work of ministry leaders in the church, the volunteers who are involved in serving in so many different capacities, you could list a zillion of them just from your context. But without those folks, it's going to be impossible for ministry to happen. It's a passion to me as well, because often some staff members in ministries start thinking that they are paid to be the ones to do it all. And in reality, we need to start thinking more like we are coaches. We're not just hired guns to accomplish something. We are coaching the next group of people who are not only going to be effective in the work and have opportunity to fulfill their Christ calling in their lives and the passion that God has given them, but they're also going to have the opportunity to work alongside and to be a part of the church, to have a meaningful kind of part. And instead of staff thinking of themselves as the doers, the staff need to think of themselves as the coaches and the people who help encourage and equip and provide the opportunity for as many as possible to be in ministry within and through the church. So here are just 15 quick ideas. Most of them don't cost hardly anything, and many of them don't cost any at all. A few of them cost a little bit. But the idea here is that you want to not only, one, take stock of the people who are volunteering in your world, those who are surrounding you in ministry, and two, you want to take some kind of action each week to let them know that they are appreciated and that they are in the right spot. And there's a part of this here as well that you don't have to make this a big ordeal. You don't have to announce that you're going to appreciate people. It kind of just becomes a little bit of the fabric of how you operate. It might be the Monday morning thank you notes or whatever the case is. It doesn't have to be a public strategy. This can just be a thing that you add to your life. So here are the 15 ideas. I'll kind of breeze through them kind of quickly here. Number one, give your team the big picture. Volunteers are often playing a small part of a bigger role. And so we need to help them see that they are accomplishing something along with many others and how important their role is in their slice of ministry within the larger context. So we always want to start with, why are we doing what we're doing? If you're standing up with your group, you're having a big training meeting of some kind, that's a great place to begin. Even if you're having just a simple little circle prayer time before an event at your church or before Sunday worship or whatever, it's a good opportunity just to stand there and say, thank you guys, don't forget, we're doing this because our mission is to, and our part is this. Now, I left a lot of blanks in there because there's a million different angles for this. Say your volunteer team is the three or four folks that are helping with the parking lot. And it might seem like just a tiny little slice to help people get into the parking lot and wave them in and say hi and all that. But it's really a really important part of the overall mission of your church, which is to help to connect people, help people encounter Christ. And that begins as soon as they drive on to the church building property. Number two, give your volunteer team access to you. Now, of course, you got to have boundaries, and depending on the size of your team, you can't have 50 people trying to connect with you by text every night before the big event or whatever. So it is important that we kind of go with the Jethro model in Exodus when he told Moses to have leaders over leaders over leaders. Depending on your context, you really are working through others. So this aspect of this is really kind of just an overarching principle. But for the people who are in your circle, you want to give them access. Volunteers are going to feel more appreciated when they are granted opportunities to connect with you personally through text or email or phone calls, and time to talk with them, to be around them. And we need to respond to those folks as quickly as possible. Now, I know in our day and age that we are inundated with emails and notifications and texts and phone calls and messages. So there are a lot of ways that there might be some slack around this. But if you have a few key people in your circle, you want to do your best to make sure that you are responding to them quickly. And you can build in the boundaries just, by conversation or by discipline of only answering at certain times. The best way to build those boundaries, I have found, is not to get all bent out of shape when somebody texts you on a Friday night or a Saturday morning. The best way to do it is to respond almost instantaneously when it's between the hours of 8 and 5, Monday through Thursday. And when that happens and you have that kind of rhythm going, then there's a lot better chance that people are going to kind of respond to the celebration. I've even heard it from people. Oh yeah, if you text him, he always responds back in the morning. So that's one way to do that. You want to give them access to you. Number three, provide what they need to get the job done. We got to do our best to get best possible equipment and supplies for our volunteer teams. We've got a lot of people that are serving, and one of the roles I know that responds to this really well is any kind of tech ministry role. If you're trying to deal with a piece of equipment that's outdated or just isn't working right, or something isn't quite connecting with other things in the digital analog world, everything's moving one way or the other. It's kind of interesting. All of a sudden, everybody's back to record players and stuff like that. So I guess there's always ebb and flow. But we need to provide what is needed to the best of our ability and to the best that our budget will allow so that we can make sure they have what they need to do it well. One example of this was several years ago now, built a new tech booth. And as a result of building a new tech booth, we bought a couple new rolling chairs and even invested a little extra money into the bigger rolling casters so that it was really simple to roll around and do whatever is needed. And those are still around. People still use them every single week. And that was just one of those tiny little examples of the right tools in the right spot to help volunteers know we're serious about this and your role. Number four, invest in a regular meeting time. Now, this again also applies to your context. You might have a group of volunteers that is intensely working on a project and has time available to do any amount of things. And so you might have a weekly meeting with some of your volunteers. But there also might be the regular meeting time in the sense of quarterly, like you're going to have a meal quarterly to talk through and discuss what's going on with ministry. Or you might break down your team into smaller teams so that every so often, smaller groups of people are getting together to discuss and think about how best to do ministry together. But investing in a regular meeting time takes a little bit of work on the front end, but once you get it going, you can easily know first Monday of this or the third Wednesday of the month, whatever the case is, that's when you're going to get together. And I have learned over the years that it seems like those things kind of go back and forth, kind of like taking aspirin and taking Tylenol, ibuprofen, then Tylenol, whatever they do when they switch back and forth to make the impact greater. It kind of works that way with meeting. Sometimes we're in a groove for maybe even 2 or 3, 4 years. We meet quarterly on a certain Wednesday night. We have a meal. We talk together. We pray together, sing together. And then all of a sudden that just kind of fades away. And then you got to invest a little bit of time figuring out the next structure of when you're going to meet so that you can make it happen. Recently, our student ministry volunteer staff was meeting the first Wednesday night of each month. And that has sort of worked. We're still trying to get in that groove. But at some point, we might just change that and decide we're going to try another time slot. There's always a bit of a jolt to get those things going. But it's important, and it helps your volunteers know that you are noticing them. Number five, check in with them. As often as you can, check in with your team while they are serving. For example, do they need any help? Are things going okay? How was the trip you took? And any other things like that. We're glad that you're back is always a great thing to say when a volunteer has been missing, hasn't been around a while. And any number of those things can be an awesome thing that could work. Number six, highlight your volunteers in church publications or website or whatever you have. Really feature stories about your volunteer team in the blog or the church social media or whatever can really go a long way to one, letting that person know they're appreciated. Number two, letting others in the team know that they're noticed as a whole, even if they may not be the one that was highlighted that week or month. But it also lets a whole nother group of people realize there are ministry opportunities in our church that you could be a part of. And so one great way to make your volunteers feel appreciated is to let them know that you know that they are serving every week and you're going to share that with the general population of the church or the community. And it's going to have other benefits as well. If you go to our blog post, timpriceblog.com, you can take a look at this list and there's a few support links available. And under this particular one is a blog post called How to Get Outstanding Performance from Your Church Staff Team. And that has some of those ideas as far as that goes. But a few more here as we continue on in this post. Give small tokens of gratitude. You can make a big impact with a small investment. And some of you probably do this naturally, think of things to get. But every once in a while, if you send your volunteer team members a small gift card or another token of appreciation, it's really going to make a difference. And Helen Keller has a quote that says, "The unselfish effort to bring cheer to others will be the beginning of a happier life for ourselves." And a happier life for ourselves. And of course, that's always interesting. Whenever I've sent little thank you notes or thank you cards, there's always been like a kind of a swell of conversation and thanks and appreciation and ideas and just a little more spurt of energy in general with the ministry team leaders I'm serving alongside. Once again, if you visit that blog post at timpriceblog.com, you can find a link under this one that's all about paying, in quotes, your volunteer teams. How can we pay our volunteer teams? I also know that sometimes when I haven't had time to go mess around with a bunch of gift cards or figuring out another little gift, I have actually just printed little coupons on the just regular sheet of paper that says something like a cup of coffee. A couple times that's actually been with me. Other times it's been an attached $5 bill with a little coupon that says, "Grab a cup of coffee some morning. We really appreciate your ministry." And I'll tell you, just to put that in perspective, you know, say you have 10 volunteers you want to do this for, that's $50. If you were going to take any one of them out to lunch, then you would spend close to that. Or if you were going to drive around the community handing them a little gift basket, you would spend more than that in mileage. And so there's a good chance that just doing a quick little $50 or maybe $100 kind of cash coffee thank you and let them know that you're just thinking about them, it's a huge win all the way around. Of course, in today's world, you almost got to give them $7. But anyway, who's counting? You can do what you can and have fun just sharing that. It's just a little easier than buying a bunch of gift cards and trying to keep it all straight. Number eight, have food available. Now, this is just a little general theory that I love to have. Food is always a great way to say thanks. And if you ever have early morning teams, you should always try to have somebody making coffee. Doesn't mean you have to do it all. One of the roles you can have is somebody being there to actually do it. So one of the things we started during the pandemic was, pre-pandemic, we had donuts every Sunday morning. And then during the pandemic, we had people who were still at church serving for the long haul, but no longer any donuts because couldn't have all that stuff out. So we instituted kind of a little breakfast snack time, had different volunteers bring it in. And one of the awesome things about that was helped people feel appreciated, but it also helped build community, which a lot of these things do in general. And that leads us to number nine, host regular community events and parties. And most often when you're with your volunteer team, you are on and going. You are present and serving. You got a little time for chit-chat and conversations, but for the most part, you're on the clock. You're doing something, accomplishing something. You're kind of in go time. And so you can encourage your team by organizing at least a couple times a year some sort of event or party focused on the simple aspect of community and connection and belonging. You want people to know that they are part of a greater team. Now, especially in the world of rotating volunteer teams, they very often are kind of serving alone or just with somebody else. They don't see the whole impact of all 40 people or whatever the number is who are involved in ministry in that way. And so if you pull all the worship team members together or all the children's ministry leaders, teachers together, they're going to see people that they haven't seen because they've been on alternating schedules. And so those parties, as simple as they need to be or as fancy as you want to make them, are really going to make a difference in community events and community amongst your team. Sometimes we've made these parties sort of just gatherings that are really simple, just some sort of refreshment and meet. Other times it's been a little more elaborate. One thing I do know is that if you only have like one party a year, it puts quite a bit of pressure on you and your people. I think it's a little better to have community events kind of spread out different times throughout the year so that people don't feel like, oh, I missed it. That's it. I'm kind of out of the loop for the next year. So you want to do more than less so that people can have an opportunity and a chance to at least be a part of some of them so they do feel like they belong. And an annual thing might exclude some people in a sense, because if they don't make it there, they've missed out on the whole thing. So a few smaller parties might be better than a great big blowout. Number 10, forward the thank you emails. One great way to keep encouraging volunteers is really to just share the love that you receive from others within your ministry or the community. So if you get a card or an email that got sent to you on behalf of your group, the work that's done, the impact in their lives, whatever the case might be, you want to forward that to them. And even if it's a handwritten card, just copy it, take a picture of it, or scan it, whatever you can do, and ship it off in an email so everybody gets a chance to experience that. Number 11, get t-shirts. I recently visited a church where the entire greeter and hospitality team wore matching t-shirts that said, "Hello there," in great big letters. Now, I know that's a little bit trendy. I've seen that in several churches, actually. But it was really easy to spot those in leadership, and it always does kind of help make a connection. People have questions. You never know when somebody's going to have a question. You really never know when a guest is going to show up in your ministry or in your outreach or whatever it is that you have going on. And the other thing about it is I firmly believe that t-shirts really do build a sense of community and belonging amongst your leaders. And one of the best things I can think of after somebody serves for several hours or, you know, takes part in a week of student ministry camp or some kind of weekend conference at your church, and then you give them an $8 or $9 t-shirt and they think they just, you know, won the lottery. It's like the best thing ever. So t-shirts really are like trophies and are a great opportunity to help not only share the message of your church, but also to share your love for your volunteer teams. Okay, we're marching down just a handful more here. Number 12, I'll make these a little quicker. Create seasons of service so that you don't have the situation where somebody feels like they're in it, they can't get out, and their only option is to quit. So every year or so, you can make this formalized, you can make this a little more informal, but every year or so, you just need to talk to people and say, hey, is this still rolling for you? Is it still work with home schedules, work schedules, life? Is it still fun for you? Is this the thing that you feel called to do, or is there something else that you might want to explore? Somehow you want to build the culture that it is totally fine for people to step away from one ministry and join another ministry so that they can experience something different for a while or whatever the case is. On the other hand, when somebody is in a season of ministry with you on an ongoing basis, it really is more like year-long sprints as opposed to a 20-year-long marathon. I have had people that have served with me for 20 years in our church, and it's not like I said when we started, hey, sign up with me and we're going to go with this for about 20 years. That would have scared them all away. Instead, we said, hey, let's give us a shot for a year. And then we gave it another shot for another year. And then we did it again. And here we are all these years later, and we're still doing it. So we need to, in a sense, give people the opportunity to step away and make that kind of the norm without any kind of awkwardness. 13, celebrate new volunteers. Celebrate them with all the current volunteers. Post a picture, write something about them, introduce them at the meeting. Whatever you need to do to let people know that they are involved in ministry now with us, and we want to welcome them in. 14, brag on your team publicly. It's a great thing to do if you're serving in staff ministry at your church. You want to take time to, not in a kind of a bashing way against anybody else, or, you know, you want to think of your teams as the best, and the people that you serve with are the best folks to be a part of. And don't want to sit around and badmouth your volunteers or try to, you know, kind of quietly figure out what to do with them. That's a whole other podcast. There are times when you got to deal with volunteers in certain situations. But for this particular post and appreciating them, you want to make sure that you are bragging on them publicly. Let people know how much you appreciate them. Let them know that you couldn't have done it without them. Let them know that when they say thanks to you, that you also give God thanks and you want to thank your team because they are the ones that really pulled it together. So always give God praise for your ministry leaders. And the last one is keep them in the loop. Number 15, you want to make sure that if you have a big announcement or some major change coming down the pike, to the degree that you are able to share it, make sure you tell your volunteers first. And that might, you know, come if there's going to ever be like a Sunday morning service change or some new idea, some new initiative, some kind of shift in the schedule for worship, anything like that. You want to make sure that at the right time, before you just share it with the whole world, to tell your volunteers so that they know in advance and they have more ownership with that. Even if they weren't part of the process, they have ownership just being able to say, yeah, he told me that the other night. I already knew about that. That's a huge deal for your volunteers. I won't review that list. That's a pretty long one, and you're welcome to take a look at the blog post at timpriceblog.com. Or if you need to, you can just listen back. One of the things I like about this list is this isn't something you just have to do every day. This is something you just take one or two of these ideas and begin to incorporate it into your life. Here are a couple ways that I have incorporated that. One way is that every Wednesday morning, I send out thank you letters to people who have served in ministry with me in some capacity. And what's awesome is we actually have a volunteer that does that letter sending. I write the letter, but our volunteer in the office helps address and get the envelope ready and print the letter and do all the things that help it actually get to the mailbox. And so I really appreciate that whole system, and I appreciate Karen for helping us to make it happen on a regular basis. And that's just one example. There's a lot of different ways that you can make sure that you incorporate some of these things into your life. Well, some time ago, probably several years ago now, time flies when you're having fun with this stuff, but I wrote an ebook called The 6 Best Practices for Motivating Volunteers. And you can grab a copy of that for free at this blog post, timpriceblog.com, 15 ways to help appreciate your volunteers. So which one will you do today? Which one are you going to put on your calendar? I want to thank each listener today, and a special thanks to anyone who is listening, who is among the group of people who serve with me in ministry, the volunteers at our home church and Harvest Ministry World, and in the churches we partner with to host events and ministries. And speaking of volunteers, in our last couple moments here, if you are a young adult musician who would like to travel this summer to serve around Illinois and the Midwest, leading music for student and youth camps, we'd love to explore the possibility with you. The traveling full-time team is a 6 to 7 week commitment, roughly the second half of June through the start of August, and we need worship leaders, guitar players, vocals, keys, drums, bass, and tech people. You can find out more at harvestministryteams.com. That's our website, harvestministryteams.com. It's based in Troy, Illinois, if you just want to Google Harvest in Troy, Illinois. But thanks again. Looking forward to speaking with you next time.